You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The NBA Finals begin tonight. Warriors and Raptors up in Toronto. But you don't care about that, do you? This is the Locked On Kings podcast. Let's talk Sacramento Kings basketball here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, full coverage leading up to the NBA draft, including pre-draft workouts. We already wrapped up the draft lottery. Following that, we have the build-up to Summer League, including the California Classic at the beginning of July. Then after Summer League, it's training camp, and then, of course, free agency and the start of the 2019-2020 Sacramento Kings and NBA season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And today on the Locked On Kings podcast, I promised that I'd try and get Grant Hughes on. He's the Bleacher Report writer who wrote the article pegging the Kings as a top 10 free agency destination amongst the 17 teams with cap space in free agency in the NBA this summer. Grant has been on this podcast before. Last summer, he wrote an article calling the Kings front office the worst front office in the NBA, but he's a fantastic guy. He wasn't just taking shots at the Kings organization. He had great points there. We had a fantastic conversation, which I encourage you to go back to last year. I think it was all the way in June, and you can listen to that podcast and hear what he had to say. It actually might have been in July, sometime last summer. Go back and listen to that at some point, but you're really going to enjoy my conversation with him today. He provides a lot of great perspective on the Kings as big free agency players. Also lists another couple of teams in the Western Conference that he thinks are going to be massive free agency players this year. And then, of course, we get a little bit of his NBA Finals take as well. So enjoy my conversation with Bleacher Report's Grant Hughes. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Around a year ago, the offseason before the start of the 2018-2019 season, I had a conversation with a Bleacher Report writer named Grant Hughes. Now, he had just written an article calling the Kings front office the worst front office in the NBA. I was very excited to have that conversation with him because I thought, actually, in his article, even though I disagreed with him, he made a lot of excellent points. And more often than not, you will always learn from getting outside perspective, regardless of where it's coming from or how much they know versus how much they don't know. So I invited Grant on. Little did I know that he was going to be a fantastic guest. We ended up having an hour-long conversation, not just talking about the Kings front office, but the NBA as a whole. Of course, context since then. The Kings had one of their most successful seasons, really, almost ever. It feels like it that way. They won 39 games, which is the most they've won since 2006. So my angle of optimism looked a little bit better than Grant's angle of the front office being the worst in the NBA. But there's no reason for me to come on this podcast and bring Grant back and rub salt in the wound and say, I told you so, because neither of us had any idea that the Kings were going to be as good and play as hard and have as much success this last season as they had. There was no reason to believe any of that. I'm so excited to have Grant Hughes back on, still with Bleacher Report. And you heard me talk about in my most recent podcast, a new article that he put out labeling the Kings as a top 10 free agency destination amongst the 17 teams with cap space. And I left that part out. Grant actually informed me of that. I don't think it changes the conversation too much, but it's interesting to hear that angle from Grant when a year ago we were talking about the Kings having the worst front office in the NBA. Grant, so great to have you back on, man. I've been looking forward to chatting with you again. It's been a fun season for us here in Sacramento, and I know for you, you were able to put that article aside and put that opinion aside and just enjoy Kings basketball this year.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, you know, you mentioned the best season they've had in forever, certainly in terms of wins and really more so in terms of, you know, I think one of the things we did talk about last year and agreed on was that, you know, what would success look like for the Kings in 2018-19? And I thought it would be, well, if De'Aaron Fox takes a leap. I didn't really care about the record. There wasn't a win total that would have constituted success. But if they had a guy emerge as a true cornerstone, and I think absolutely that happened. And the wins and the identity and the style of play and everything kind of followed with Fox's rise. So, yeah, certainly. And to backtrack a little bit to the front office stuff, certainly not the worst in the league now. I mean, you'd have to hand that to the Lakers with a bullet.
Right.
But I think things worked out really well for Vlade Divac and his staff, even though there was certainly some turmoil last year. But nowhere near the worst now. I think that's pretty comfortable to agree on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does us, it makes us happy here in Sacramento to see the Lakers in such turmoil. And hopefully the Kings didn't ever look as bad to the national NBA audience as the Lakers look right now. That's certainly a dumpster fire. But I wanted to ask you before we talk about the free agency destination part of things, Vlade underwent quite a transition in his reputation around the league, and not just nationwide, but also here in Sacramento. A lot more people starting to trust and feel comfortable with Vlade Divac as a NBA general manager, and the Kings organization backed that up by offering him a contract extension. What do you think about Vlade getting that deal, well-deserved after the 39-win season that the Kings had?
Well, I think certainly it's a positive in this way. There is now no question. I mean, there really wasn't before, but there's no question of who's calling the shots. I think they've done well to, I think, sort of clean up whatever factions there may have been stretching between the front office and the coaching staff. And so I think certainly you want a collaborative environment and you don't want siloing of information, which is part of the problem with the Lakers. But I do think it's good to say now Divac is the guy making all of the decisions. I think he has total autonomy, which maybe he did before, but this just underscores it. And yeah, I mean, look at the talent acquisition and development that's happened. Fox was an incredible pick, in hindsight now. I think I probably like him the best in his draft class, frankly. And Buddy Hield has developed after coming over via trade. Marvin Bagley, I think, was far better than I and most people expected, even if I don't think you'll ever convince most people that was the right pick over Luka Doncic. But Divac has got a lot of positives piling up on the ledger. I think this season coming up will be, informative as to how we want to rank him in terms of league-wide management. But, he certainly, again, has elevated his position relative to where it was a year ago.
I've taken the stance of defending Vlade over the last year and a half or so, but the first move he made since getting this contract extension, which I think he 100% deserved, was firing Dave Yeager and hiring Luke Walton. Now, I'm throwing out all of the allegations and all of the investigation going against Luke Walton right now. That has nothing to do with this conversation. I'm not even going to bring that up beyond this point because it's unrelated to the basketball decision part of everything. Plus, it's very clear that not only did the Kings and Vlade not know about this thing, but neither did the Lakers, neither did the Golden State Warriors. So it doesn't really apply to this conversation. Glad I got that out of the way. I was not a huge fan, Grant, of the move at the time. I actually liked Dave Yeager a lot. I understand why Vlade made the move. He and Yeager didn't always see eye to eye with how things were to be run going forward with this young team, and it seems like Vlade and Luke are 100% on the same page. We also know that Vlade really wanted Luke back when Yeager was initially fired, but Luke was not interested in the job whatsoever. Again, I wasn't too happy with the move. I understand why it was made, and I'm anxious to see how it plays out. I'm excited to have Luke here in Sacramento, but I believe Dave Yeager did more than enough to keep his job for at least one more year. What are your thoughts on that entire situation and that move that Vlade made?
Well, I mean, certainly, I think I would push back a little bit on, I know we don't want to discuss it, but the allegations Walton is facing, I do understand that the Kings and the Lakers didn't know, but I think if you're going to make a hire of that magnitude, saying we didn't know about it is a tough pill to swallow, and not being able to find out about it, that's going to hang over this team, but we'll leave that there. I think that, this is the second situation that Yeager has left under less than optimal circumstances, and it had to do with clashes with the front office. It had to do with just being difficult to get along with, frankly, it sounds like. So I understand moving on. It is difficult with a roster whose key pieces are really young to switch coaches midstream. And so I do think that if this was something that could have been worked out, it would have been great to really give Jaeger one more year. Just because, I don't think they're risking stunting the growth of the younger players on the roster, but it is difficult. You know, it's more of a football thing where you think about young quarterbacks that have six offensive coordinators in their first 7 years or something, and the learning curve starts over every year. It's not quite the same in basketball, but it is another obstacle that you'd like to avoid with a young team if you can. I just think, everything that I've heard, it just was kind of an untenable situation and had been that way or trending that way for a long time. So I get it. It's just kind of a shame that it couldn't work out.
Let's transition into the actual free agency part of this conversation and the article that made me want to reach out and chat with you again. And again, Grant, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on here. It's great to have you back on and to hear your voice again and talk to you again. One of my desires, my wish list items for this Kings team coming into this last season that just wrapped up was to establish themselves, establish that young core, and do everything that they could do, everything that they could control to potentially become an attractive free agency destination. They didn't have to attract a Kevin Durant. They didn't have to attract a Kawhi Leonard, but do enough to maybe get one veteran player or one role player that could come in and significantly help this team improve and take them to the next level. Is it safe to say they accomplish that mission?
Yeah, I think, just in terms of the outlook now relative to where it was a year ago, you have so many more positives. And really, the up-tempo style is huge. I think players always want to get out and run. If you're a certain kind of free agent, that's intriguing to you because it's going to pump up some of your stats and you're just going to look better if you're thinking two contracts down the line. It seems like a fun style to play. The arena is great. There's all these positives. The fan base just is so ready for a winning team, I think. I don't know if this upcoming season will be a playoff season. I think it'll be close. But as long as the Kings are competitive, it's just going to be a madhouse every night. So there's so much more that's positive now than when we last talked. And I think in that sense, a 39-win season feels like an even bigger success than it was.
Absolutely. And building off of that, one of the things you said in the article, now you listed very briefly just the reasons why you thought that the Kings were becoming an attractive free agent destination. You led off with playing alongside De'Aaron Fox, playing with that up-tempo style. But one of the things you listed in there that I was very interested in, and something I hadn't really thought about, even though it seems so blatantly obvious, is the fact that the way the Kings play with the up-tempo style, you're going to get a lot of offensive opportunities, and you're going to have a good opportunity to put up big numbers. And we know statistics and numbers have an effect on not just how players look to fans and how they feel about themselves and their averages and boosting their ego in that sense. But now it also helps with getting all-star selections. It helps with earning more money. It helps with potentially making an all-NBA team and getting the contract benefits from that. Is that an underrated part of this entire situation that we're not paying enough attention to?
Yeah, well, it's a big deal because, look, there's been a lot of talk recently about how media voting affects all NBA selections, which affects, tens of millions of dollars in player contracts. So the statistics that inform a lot of media members are important. And I think, if you're looking at it from a national perspective, we're getting a lot smarter about numbers and, points per game or rebounds per game aren't the be-all, end-all anymore, I think for sure, rightly so. But if you've got two players and one's averaging 22 a game and one's averaging 19 a game, all things being equal, I think most people are going to say the 22 points per game player is better. I don't know if that's right, but perception matters. And if you're playing for the Kings and you're, playing more transition basketball than literally any other team in the league, your numbers are going to look better. So, yeah, in terms of being an attractive destination, that does matter.
Impatience is running wild, not just in Sacramento, but just in our world as a whole today. And I'm guilty of this as well. After this team won 39 games, finished ninth in the Western Conference, the next step, the next expectation for fans is for next season for this team to finally break through and make the playoffs. Now, that's hard to imagine what of the eight teams in the West right now are going to drop out, not to mention there's a few teams behind the Kings that you've pegged as actually pretty good free agency destinations that I could see jumping up and passing the Kings and making it into the playoffs. We know the West is an absolute beast, and it's not easy to make the playoffs in, but also we have to remember that this Kings core is still relatively young. Fox entering his third season. Marvin Bagley, who barely started his rookie campaign, entering his second season. You called Buddy Hield the old man of the group at 26 years old, which I think was fantastic and very well written by you. But is there any, how enticing is it for a potential 26, 27, 28-year-old, not necessarily star, but key role player or key free agent to come in and play with a young group of guys like that to where he can be just as much of a leader as he is a scorer and a helper?
Well, I think, you know, Jared Dudley, a month or so ago, the guy who sort of made a second half of his career out of being the veteran influence, he's a little older than the age range you're talking about. But he mentioned Sacramento as a team that he'd be interested in playing for as, you know, a spot reserve guy who would sort of be a mentor. So I think, you know, clearly we're hearing players say that this is someplace, you know, that veterans should have some interest in. And I think, too, you know, if the playoffs, I think, are going to be the goal. And I think that's fine. I normally wouldn't say so because I think with the youth on this team, it's the type of thing where patience I would say is the best course. But you know, I think one of the great ways for a group to grow is to sort of set a high goal and try to meet it and get yourself into pressure situations, be in a playoff race. That's all valuable stuff. So if you're a veteran and you can play a role coming in as a free agent on that kind of team, I think that's attractive. And certainly I think there are minutes to be had, you know, a backup point guard, you know, center potentially. There should be wing minutes even, you know, depending on what happens with Harrison Barnes. So there's opportunity too, in addition to kind of an exciting potential role for more established free agents.
I hope no one in Sacramento expects Kevin Durant to come here or Kawhi Leonard or names like that. But one of the areas that I've been asking for somewhat reform from this Kings organization is to not let the stigma of being a quote-unquote unattractive free agency destination affect how they make decisions. And what I mean by that is, Grant, I would like to see this Kings team aggressively throw money and throw offers and deals at some of the bigger names in free agency, because the worst case scenario is they say no, it bruises your ego a little bit, and then it's off the table, it's done with. Now, I'm not saying the Kings, I don't think there's going to be a team in the NBA that doesn't quote-unquote offer a contract to Kevin Durant or Kawhi, but I'm all for the Kings throwing a big money offer at a guy like Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is one of my favorite guys in the NBA right now, a free agent that I would love for the Kings to come out and land. Your opinion on that approach to things? Are you expecting the Kings to be that aggressive, and does it harm them at all to try and compete with the big boys in that sense?
Well, I would say I do expect them to be aggressive. I think, you know, you just go back to you know, they went after Zach LaVine with a huge offer sheet that got matched. And I think that was probably a blessing in disguise that LaVine didn't end up on the roster. But I do expect them to be aggressive. The only point of caution, I think, is, look, you've got this core of Fox, Bagley, Hield, Giles even, that, you know, 2-3 years from now, you know, they're all sort of at different stages. You're going to need to start thinking about extending these guys. And in a perfect world, they're all going to warrant huge contracts because their play is going to justify that. So if you do go out and you sign Tobias Harris to potentially an above market deal, or you make a big offer for Vucevic from Orlando, you know, that's okay. But I do think you might want to be a little cautious in not locking yourself into big deals for veterans that maybe you've got to overpay a little bit for, because you're removing the flexibility to kind of keep your own. And those core young guys are really what is generating the optimism in with the Kings right now. So I don't know if you want to commit to some other guys that just in the interest of let's win 46, 47 games and try to make the playoffs this year. I think you've got to balance being aggressive in free agency with looking ahead, because this core now I think is good enough for that sort of approach to be warranted.
Who in your mind, or what is the biggest name or best player that you think the Kings have a realistic chance of landing in free agency this year?
Yeah, they're not going to be really splashy names. I was looking at this a little bit earlier. And, you know, there's the types of guys I would like to see them go after are sort of more specific need-based guys. Malcolm Brogdon is a restricted free agent in Milwaukee. I think him coming in as a combo guard who could even play the three, I mean, he guarded Kawhi Leonard a fair amount towards the end of those Eastern Conference Finals. Great shooter, can make a pass, can play off the dribble. Maybe he starts at the three even. Maybe he is your just ace backup at the one and the two. Someone like that is more in line with what I would be thinking. And then along the front line, again, I'm not comfortable going after Vucevic if it's going to cost a ton of money. I think you're looking at veteran guys, you know, Ed Davis, Dwayne Dedmon, even Aaron Baines from Boston. You know, I think you want to be careful, too, about not signing huge names that are going to take touches and minutes away from Bagley, from Fox, from Hill. You know, those are the guys you need to develop. So I don't know if going after a huge free agent wing like Harris, if you've got to pay him what the market says he's going to make, is the best course. Now, if you land that guy, then, man, I mean, it's hard to overstate how exciting that would be just for what it would mean to the franchise. But I think you do need to be careful about not getting in the way of these young guys.
I have two names that I want to present to you. These are two popular names here in Sacramento that have been brought up in free agency wish lists for the last couple of weeks, and I think they fit the category of the players you're looking for. Not guys that are going to take max money offers. You're going to have to pay them a decent amount of money, but that's common for any free agent that Sacramento is going to try and land, and the Kings certainly have cap space in order to attract free agents. But try these two names on for size and tell me how you like them and the probability of the Kings potentially landing them. Backup point guard Patrick Beverley from the Los Angeles Clippers and Brooke Lopez, who put on an absolute show as a stretch five with the Milwaukee Bucks this season.
Yeah, I mean, Beverley would be as a tone setter in terms of physicality and defense for a team that, you know, if we're going to talk about weaknesses, the Kings, as great as their improvement was last year defensively, really have, you know, a long way to go. Beverley would be huge there. I think Lopez potentially has sort of played himself into a contract that might be a little too rich for the Kings to think about investing in, especially since stylistically, you know, Lopez will certainly stretch the floor, but I don't know if he's cut out to run the way the Kings want to run. He's more of a lumbering big, even though he really now only runs three-point line to three-point line. I think either of those guys would be great. The price would need to be right, and you'd really need Beverley to accept a backup role, which, you know, maybe he's willing to do that, maybe he's not. Good fits, interesting fits, certainly not perfect, but I think, you know, that's kind of the range of talent, maybe with Lopez being a little on the high end, that the Kings should be looking for.
Before we wrap up, Grant, I want to ask you two more questions related to your article, but that aren't related to the Sacramento Kings. And I mentioned this in my podcast earlier this week when I was going over this article and presenting this article. You have two teams in the top 10, higher position than the Kings, that I actually agree with, and I'm very interested to hear your perspective on it more. I think they were number five. I don't have the article open in front of me right now, but I think you had the Dallas Mavericks at number five. And the Mavericks are one of those teams that are below the Kings, but they made that big trade landing Kristaps Porzingis. Of course, he's coming back from injury and hasn't played for a year because of his surgery. So who knows if he's going to be the Kristaps Porzingis that tore up the league in his first couple of years. But Luka Doncic is expected to win Rookie of the Year. He looked fantastic. And I expect them to be big free agency player as well. How dangerous do you think they are to land a big name this summer? Because it doesn't seem like too many people are talking about them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Doncic is such an attractive player to play with. That's where you have to start your analysis of the Mavs. And then you talk about their reputation as just, you know, there's no place with a more upscale, cutting-edge locker room, all the training facilities, all that stuff. They really spare no expense. And I think free agents care about that. The other thing with Dallas that is a factor if you're a free agent is, you know, getting Porzingis cost them two first-rounders. And so if you're going to Dallas, I think you're going to Dallas as a free agent thinking this team is desperate to win.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, the tanking is highly unlikely that they've kind of engaged in at the end of the year. So that's a big deal. If you're a free agent, you'd like to have a little bit of certainty about the direction of the organization. And I think there really can't be a question about that with Dallas now. It's got to be a major playoff push because of what they gave up in terms of long-term assets.
And then the number one team that you had, Grant, and I agree with this 100%. I'm actually really excited to watch them continue on their path of success, even though they were the team that ended up pushing the Kings to ninth place, a team that I thought the Kings were going to overtake after they traded Tobias Harris, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers. I was fascinated with how that team continued to play well, play hard, and succeed. I love Montrezl Harrell. I love Lou Williams. Doc Rivers has really somewhat revived his coaching career over the past couple seasons with what he has done with the Clippers. They've gotten off of all of those bad contracts and shipped away all of their quote-unquote amazing talent that's now struggling elsewhere, but they've kept this good core and now they're looking to add to it. I believe they are the perfect landing destination for Kawhi Leonard. I believe they're the favorite to land Kawhi Leonard. We know they're also interested in being involved in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, also the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. Now, they can't land all of them, but they probably will land one of them and might even get two of them. Your thoughts on what they're going to do this summer and why specifically you picked them as number one overall?
Yeah, I mean, to answer your first question, I think they're going to sign a superstar, at least one. And I think it's going to be Kawhi Leonard. It's just there's been so much smoke. There's got to be fire on that front in terms of the rumors. And I just think, you know, top to bottom, you look at Steve Ballmer, the owner, is willing to spend. He's paid handsomely to retain a lot of their assistants and front office guys that other teams have tried to hire and interviewed. And that to me is a sign that this is a really good place to work and it will continue to attract the best minds in basketball ops, in just everything, front office, coaching staff. Jerry West, I think, is the type of guy that he's at the point of his career where he's not going to be somewhere that he's not confident is a great place to be. He's got nothing left to prove and he's there as a consultant. They've just got ready-made role-playing guys to slot around a star. They've got incoming first-rounders. They've got – you name it. They're in L.A., and they don't have any of the nonsense that the Lakers do. So just comparatively, they look phenomenal in that respect. The Lakers – I mean, the Clippers to me are just like the superpower in waiting in the league, which is not great news for the Kings because it's another West team that's not going to fall out of the top eight, I don't think. But it's just anything you could want in an organization from a free agent's perspective, I think the Clippers have.
Real quick, Grant, how many games and who you have winning the finals?
I'm going to go Warriors in six. I think the Toronto Raptors are the best team Golden State will have faced in the finals. So I would not be shocked at all if the Raptors won it. But I just think, you know, there's something to the big game experience and the way that they're playing right now that I kind of like the Warriors a little better.
Were the Bucks our best chance of overthrowing them, or do you think the Raptors are the best chance?
I think it's the Raptors. The Bucks, you know, they were solvable offensively, and the Raptors solved them. And I'd like to think the Warriors would have done something similar. So, you know, the Bucks were the best regular season team all year, but yet again, we learned that the playoffs are something different, and I think Toronto's probably the better candidate to beat the Warriors.
That is Bleacher Report's Grant Hughes. Check him out. Check out all of his work and read all of his work. He provides a great national perspective of all of the NBA, but is not afraid to write about your Sacramento Kings. I hope you appreciate him coming on this podcast and appreciate his perspective, even if it is from a negative standpoint, looking at this Kings team or looking at really any team in the NBA. Grant comes from a place of a high basketball IQ, a great knowledge of the league, so you know that his opinion is going to be worth something, and it's not just going to be some hot take clickbait type article to try and pick out low-hanging fruit for certain franchises. You can follow him on Twitter, GT_Hughes. That's HUGHES. Follow him on Twitter. And Grant, we'll have to have you back on. Let's not make it a year this time. Let's do 6 months or less at least, and we'll talk more hoops here in the very near future.
Sounds good. Anytime, Matt.
Thanks to Untuckit for sponsoring Locked On Kings. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring is required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA, to get 20% off. Huge thank you to Grant for appearing on the Locked On Kings podcast today. Again, I encourage you to go and follow him. Check out his work on Bleacher Report. He's just an excellent NBA writer and a fantastic guy. I look forward to talking to him more again in the future. And let me know if you enjoyed my conversation with him. You can reach me at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter, or you can email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I appreciate you listening, whether it's via the Google Podcast app, via iTunes, via Podbean, Spotify, or the fantastic Himalaya app. This is a new podcast app, and you've heard me tell you about it before. I'm going to tell you about it again because it's free, it's super easy to use, and it has every single podcast that you love or are searching for. The database on this app is nuts. I love podcasts. I'm not just a podcast host, I'm a podcast listener, and I use Himalaya. It has all of my podcasts on there. I found them all immediately. If you're a wrestling guy, I'm listening to, I love the Talk is Jericho podcast, Chris Jericho, WWE, or former WWE wrestler, now with AEW, really a wrestling legend. He has a podcast. I found my podcast immediately on Himalaya. Go and check out that app. It also personally creates playlists for you based off of the kind of content you listen to, so it helps discovering new and finding new podcasts all the easier. And you can also follow have your podcast get notified or sent to you immediately once they are published and once they come out. There's also a discussion board area where you can comment on episodes and interact with your fellow listeners and fellow fans. It's a great app for all things podcasting. Himalaya, check it out right now. Today's show is also brought to you by Grip 6. It's an ultra lightweight belt with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift. Go to grip6.com and they have a special offer for you. grip6.com/lock. That's grip6.com/LOCKE. Thanks again to Grant, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast here today. Enjoy the NBA Finals. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, and more King stuff in the future. De'Aaron Fox appeared on both Undisputed and on the Colin Cowherd show on Fox Sports 1. Had some great quotes from both of those appearances that we'll talk about in the very near future as well. So definitely look forward to that. Until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.